Hello and welcome to another episode of Hashtag New Teacher Journey. Today I had the opportunity to speak with Joe Gonzalez. He is a sixth grade teacher from Virginia and he is doing some amazing things. So I truly hope you enjoy this podcast. Start off with, please tell me a little bit about yourself.
My name is Joe Gonzalez. I currently teach, this is my seventh year of teaching, and I currently teach sixth grade English language arts and social studies at Andrew Jackson Middle School, which is in the suburb of Charleston, West Virginia.
Yeah, that's awesome. I also teach sixth grade, but I teach math. So, you know, it's a little different, but I have been loving getting to know my middle schoolers this year.
Yeah, I previously for the past 6 years taught fifth grade and finally decided to make the jump up to sixth grade. And I love middle school. I should have done it years ago. So it's, as people say, it's right in my wheelhouse. So
in education, we all have good and bad days. Please reflect on some good days you have had in education.
Good days are usually when technology works without effort. That's the easiest one I can think of. You know, in this world we live in now, I've been teaching for 7 years. And even when I first came in, technology was not to what it is now. And so anyway, just getting everything and having the, whether it's the Wi-Fi or whatever, all your apps downloaded, or some kid didn't, you know, they charged their iPads, everything. So, but those are easy. Those are the typical ones that make life inconvenient. I think I get more joy when other kids can teach other kids, because I got over myself a long, long time ago that I had to be the one that knew all the knowledge. So I love when another student can step in and be like, here's how you do it. And they show them. And that's, to me, I love that. I said, all right, that right there, I back off and I don't really have to, you know, it's like I let them learn, because they learn, in my mind, most of the time, learn better from each other. So that's when days like that happen, or I can get one student and teach them how to do it, and then they can go teach two or three other students. I love that. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's so cool when you teach kids something and then they're able to help somebody else. Like, my kids always ask me if they can help their friend or their partner, and I'm always like, go for it. Like, if you know what you're doing and you're willing to help, it helps you, because then they get to teach it to someone else and it helps them retain the information, but it also can help another student who might not be getting it right away. So I love that you said that. So likewise, what are some things you have experienced that were difficult at the time, but looking back now, you learned a lot from them?
I mean, still to this day, it's a challenge, classroom management. But I noticed that jumping from the elementary to middle, it was a lot different. I knew probably one of my biggest things, and I could review a lot of stuff I did in elementary. I was not very good at just managing 20 some kids for 6 hours a day, all in my control. And if you know, the typical elementary was basically they were there from the morning bell till the end of the day. We didn't have the luxury. I think some schools or districts change in fifth grade, like they'll change classes. We didn't. So I was a one-stop shop. You know, I was the math, the science, the social studies, the reading teacher and all that. So in that situation, it's very hard to control all the personalities and all the interruptions and disruptions and transitions and things like that. So for me, when I saw the opportunity for middle school where it said, hey, you can teach two classes. Essentially, I teach two classes, but we have a morning group and an afternoon group. But I looked at that going, that took a lot more pressure off me and allowed me to focus on the content and do that. So, and still, I do battle some classroom management issues. And I've asked kids, what can I do to improve? And they've given me some things. But that's usually always been my number one kind of, I'm going to say, issue, or one of my biggest struggles. And I've gotten better at it periodically, but I feel when I got to now middle school, it's a little different. The tone is different, and it's just it's a sense of seriousness. I hate to say it, of saying like, well, you're in the big leagues now because everything you do now counts. Like, you know, not that elementary didn't count, but all the stuff before it really was okay. This is preparing you for this. So kids come in with a different mindset, I think, and so, but they're still middle schoolers at the end of the day, and they have their moments too. So, but quite simply, that's the easiest thing I can think of.
Yeah, I think that's something that I share a similar background. So I taught fourth grade last year, and now I'm teaching sixth. And I wasn't able to, like, fourth grade was fine, but it was hard for me to manage the special transitions and getting kids to line up in the hallway and just dealing with the ins and outs of, like, having the same group of kids. And then if one kid was having a rough day, then it was all day and not just, you know, for that period or for that block. And this year, it's a whole different ballpark as well because, you know, sixth graders are unique in their own way. But it's been – classroom management has always been something that I'm working on and I continue to work on because I know that I'm only a second-year teacher, so I have room to grow. But it's something that I feel more confident in each day a little bit. Like, I know I'm not perfect by any means, but I feel like I'm getting to where I want to be or at least have an idea of, like, of how to fix things next year when I start off because I'm – learning a lot about myself and about my students this year.
No, that's great.
What piece of advice you would like to give any new teachers?
I heard this to somebody else the other day. Just breathe. I found myself recently every now and then thinking of ways to tell kids or people that want to go into education, you know, to find another career. But then I started learning that, no, that's not the right thing to be saying. Just breathe and, you know, just get through, you know, the first year. You just, I hate to say it, it's in, I think even somebody sat me down my first year and he said, I wouldn't even say until your sixth or seventh year, you're going to start getting it. You know, you're going to start figuring out. Some people maybe had the ability to do it before then, but, you know, I cringe when I think back to my first classroom and just all the stuff that I did, but it's the growing pains and it's learning new things. And, you know, it's great that you go to an accredited university that, you know, teaches you and you pass all your tests and everything. And then you get into there and it's like that stuff gets thrown out the window day once.
Yep.
That's at least my own personal, you know, yes, there are content area issues that you've learned that, but still it's, you know, okay, now you're in charge of, you know, 20 to 30 some odd individuals and you have to do this. So it's a different thing. It's a scenario that they don't really have always the opportunity to prepare you for. Yes, the student teaching helps, but it's still not, it's the real thing. So I would just say breathe and surround yourself with the most experienced person in the building, even if it is, dare I say, the oldest person in the building. You know, know that you're not perfect. You're going to make mistakes. And I'm honest with my kids. I'm honest with a lot of people. I will usually openly just either tell you or answer it. When you ask me a question, I'll answer it. So that usually helps me out with my students. And I'll ask them, I'll say, you know, tell me this, and this. And, you know, so they're usually honest with me if I'm honest with them about certain things. So, but that's, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like that's huge because I think a lot of teachers sometimes are afraid of being vulnerable with the kids, but I think it definitely helps when you're open to feedback. Because I know that a lot of new teachers, there are some that, you know, are trying to figure it out, and then there's some that kind of have it. And, you know, we always feel like when you're new, it's hard to find your balance sometimes, or you're trying to look at other teachers and you're like, oh, like that classroom's great. And, you know, and you want to model that. But then you also have to find what works for your class, because sometimes what works for one teacher doesn't work for what I want to do in my classroom or the climate that I set. So it's hard to, I think, put yourself sometimes in other people's shoes, because I think I'm guilty of that I look at someone else and I'm like, oh, like, you know, that all looks great, and then when I try to do it, it doesn't work out. So it's like one of those things where you do have to reflect a lot and readjust, and then once you do figure out that something works, you know, then you at least have something in your toolbox to work off of.
Yeah. And just to add to that of, you know, take one idea of what somebody else does in their classroom. I mean, you know, sometimes just even walking into the room going, oh, I like what you did here. Maybe I should do this. But that's definitely what you, and hit the nail on the head with it, that what works for one teacher does not always work for every teacher. And that's a huge, I think that's one of the other hardest things to learn, because then, you know, oh, they're the teacher that everybody likes, or they're the teacher that lets you do the fun stuff, or they're the teacher that does this. And it's like, well, what, you know, so it's a struggle. You're trying to find your own balance and things. And I think, oh, the other thing that I remember, that back to my first 2 years, I really felt like I was on an island by myself, because I was the only fifth grade teacher in my first building. And then my second year, there was another fifth grade teacher, and we kind of worked, but we still didn't collaborate as much as I think we would have liked to. So that was the hardest part. And, you know, I was looking around for any help, and I think I just kept trying to do stuff myself. And again, that's the way you learn. So, but looking back, I would definitely tell you to just try to keep surrounding yourself, or just take one idea of something and not, you know, and run with it. So,
yeah, I think the island thing is really true, because I remember, like, last year, like, I had some, you know, obviously my mentor, but there wasn't a lot of people to really connect with. And this year I have more teachers that I feel like I talk to that are close to my age. But then it's also hard when you enter a whole new building, because you're trying to build morale with your students and then other colleagues. But then there's teachers who are kind of in their cliques and they bond together, and then you don't know where you fit in. So I know, like, Twitter has helped me out a lot, because I have my own, like, PLN on there, where if I feel like I don't have support or whatever it is, or I just need advice on something, I reach out and I end up getting a lot of suggestions that help me out. So it's nice to have that virtual community to go to as well as my school, because I do feel supported in that sense, and it's opened up a lot of opportunities. So I know that, like, even if some people are maybe hesitant on reaching out at school or whatever it is, like, I encourage everybody to find a person at your school that you can connect with, but also seek out those opportunities online, because there are a lot of opportunities out there as well.
I couldn't agree with you.
Oh, no, you're good. Thank you. So how can people get in contact with you?
Easiest way is, I believe, Twitter and Facebook. Twitter is, I think it's at Joe Gonzalez 88, if I remember correctly. And I'm pretty sure my Facebook page is just still Joe Gonzalez. I didn't do anything creative with my Twitter handle, because I think when I first created it, I was using it for, like, NASCAR stuff or something like that. So I didn't realize there was a whole education side. So I started using it for that, and I've blended the two together, and I'm just too late. I don't have enough mental capacity to operate two Twitter handles and try to go back and forth between the two. So, I might show up on Twitter as Mr. G, but it should be at Joe Gonzalez 88. So
thank you for sharing that, because I know that after this episode, a lot of people are going to want to reach out, because you do have a lot to offer. And I'm always, you know, when I see your tweets, I'm always captivated by your passion and your excitement for education. So that's great. And I really want to thank you for being on, because I know that you have a family, as most people do, but, like, it's, you know, it's taking up that time and that effort to talk to me and to be on this.
Oh, I appreciate you. Thank you. I've followed your journey, I think, a couple of years ago, or maybe it might have been a year ago. I think we connected, and it's been interesting to follow you and see what you're going through. So I'm proud of you. Keep working hard, and whatever we can help you with, let us know. And try to get you. I think the Teach Better team, I don't know if you're connected with them, but they've really started helping me a lot. And I'm trying to do some things next year with them in the classroom and stuff like that. So they're a huge resource to, mm-hmm. You know, I attended that conference in November, and that was hands down the best conference I'd ever been to in my life. And it was just the people made it. It wasn't, you know, I thought it was just a typical, and maybe you'll experience this in years to come, of just you show up at a conference and you had to attend a couple sessions and then you go home and that's it. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, there was just so much love and happiness and just passion to meet people and just like, and I was, I called it like the Mount Rushmore of education. I said you had like Dave Burgess and Adam Welcome and mm-hmm. these people just walking around like you could like shake their hands. Like I met them, I took selfies with them and they were the coolest people ever. And so that was like, you know, I'm sad that I can't go to DVC Con out in California. I don't have enough money to fly all the way to San Diego, but I'm eagerly awaiting the Teach Better conference for 2020, but I have a feeling, I'm going to guess it's going to be maybe in Chicago or somewhere in Illinois, which I think is that near, you're in Illinois, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in Illinois. So that'd be awesome.
So I have a feeling, I'm not positive, but I'm just guessing. Yeah. So anyway.
I love their work too. Cause that's how I started. Ray went to Illinois State. So I went to Illinois State. So we kind of connected and she was at her school a lot and I didn't know what Twitter was. And she's always like, go on Twitter, you know, start joining a chat. And I was like, I know Twitter, but I didn't know there was an educational side to it. So I started my own Twitter chat, or I was on a Twitter chat with her. And then ever since then, it's been like this whirlwind of, okay, like, you know, I got so into it. And so I'm always seeing what she's up to. And it's so cool seeing everything that they're doing for education. So I want to try using the grid method maybe in like next year a little bit, or like venturing into one unit with it. But I definitely want to go to the Teach Better conference because I heard that it was amazing. My friend went and she said it was great. So I have to keep my ears out for that. Yeah. So thank you again.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Enjoy your evening.
All right, you too.
Thanks.